Stop. I'm just talking.
This is no interview.
Anymore? We don't even talk about music. Where'd you get your suspenders?
I got them in Sears.
Sears? Are they guaranteed? Sears guarantees everything.
Guaranteed to give you a straight back.
You like dressing up? It's, you know, most people I know, him, me, like to dress down most of the time, not wear much.
Yeah, most Americans do, I've noticed. I don't know why.
I think it's because there's part of the rebellion. When your parents always told you, you have to dress well, and as soon as it became okay to wear jeans and boots and t-shirts around, we all did. You know?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with clothes, it's just...
His hair is not long, okay, but for him, it's a big, thrill, because whenever his hair gets any short, any longer than his, I say, time to get a haircut. So of course now he has it down there, and he's smiling all the time.
Yeah, so but I used to have it real long.
Yeah, and that's why with you now.
He's chasing you with the scissors.
Yeah, it's a thrill for, well, it's somewhat of a thrill. When you first got your haircut.
Yeah.
Saw how to bound about here.
Real long.
This long. And so, of course, you know, for him it was the change of doing something. Every once in a while I like to get dressed up because I've been dressing in t-shirts and jeans now for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
It's a big, you know.
Well, it's a significant thing between American audiences and British audiences. And that is the way that they dress, I think. I mean, obviously, if you go to a status quo gig, then everyone dresses like status quo dress. And occasionally, that's why I like Brian Ferry, because he brings in all those factions and craziness.
People come in dressed like Phil Manzanera.
Yeah, but I like to see that. I mean, obviously, deep down, it's the clothes, the thing, but it's nice to see, I like to see people just being a little bit stylish.
Well, next time we wear a tie when you're over.
It's better than we do with women. Nothing at all.
By the way, I'm curious, what's your reaction to Starcastle, having played with them?
Well, they've got it together. I didn't really hear anything that new.
Yeah, the reactions have been very mixed towards Starcastle. I'm just curious, you know, how people react to them. Because some people, you know, right away off the bat will say they sound like a takeoff on Yes and any kind of cosmic group.
Well, I've never been into Yes's music. It seems that it's too professional for it's a little bit too clever for them. And the same with Starcastle, and that's what everyone says, they're sort of a poor man's Starcastle. And that in itself is a mark against them for me, because they must be aware of that fact. Or maybe they're going ahead and they don't care anyway. Maybe that's what they want to be, so that's cool, because what they do well. But it's that whole very tight arranged things and very, you know, good harmonies, you know, just doing what they do well. But the content, I never listen. I mean, they don't hit me strong enough for me to want to really listen to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Anyway. But they got a good show. They got a revolving disc at the back, which is a great effect.
Yeah.
And I think that's the success of a lot of bands, that they can come on and present a show, and they've got the knack of building up audiences either through volume or technique or certain professional devices that a lot of bands do very naturally, but it's a little bit flat for me. It doesn't come out and grab me. You know? And that's the impression I was left the first time I saw Yes. Mm. And consequently, I've never really listened to any of their albums, and they've never sort of stirred me emotionally to want to go out and buy one. Maybe if I did, then I would see something more in them.
Do you like groups to be very visual? Or do you think that that detracts from the music itself?
I don't think it detracts at all. I think it's, it adds to it. It doesn't require gymnastics or anything like that. It's just body movement.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Linked with good music, it's just undeniable, you know. I've seen Dylan once, and that was on television. Mm-hmm. But the guy's just got incredible charisma, you know. There's just something about the guy that gives off
that sense of power.
Yeah, and you don't reckon. Well, you can't see it in many people, and
many people don't have it.
that's what I'm saying.
There's some people that you say I'd rather not play with that person. I mean, just
no.
The people who contrary to your philosophy that you'd say, no, I don't want to be on tour with this band.
No.
Or do you consider this is something separate? I'm on my own, you know, on this stage.
Well, I think a mixed bag is a desirable thing. It's not always that helpful in our situation. Third on the bill, if you're playing to... like, take for instance Starcast. If they're top of the bill, then they've been working, I think, pretty extensively around the States now for 6 months, and they're building up a pretty strong following.
Oh, well, they've been touring here for about
so
3.5 years.
So, consequently, they're going to pull a huge percentage of the audience. And, you've got to play to those and those people, and a lot of
those audiences.
A lot of instances, they're going to be... preconditioned to
Either they're going to be very apathetic, or they might tear you apart. One of the two. that'll happen with, you know, a bad audience either way.
We had a bad. We've had one bad night on this tour. I came off stage thinking it was a good night, but because it got everyone down so much, it got me down eventually. And that was we did the Palladium in New York, and. It was a little bit like that Paris gig I was talking about. It was obvious there were certain pockets of people that were really getting off on it, and there were other people that were giving us the thumbs down, and it was a positive response, you know, which is what you should expect from every audience. Sometimes you don't get it, sometimes you just get a middle ground thing where you can come off with
much better just to have action, period.
Yeah, I would prefer that that kind of a response, and that was certainly what we got at New York. But a lot of people were giving us the thumbs down, and some of them the thumbs
who
up.
Who were you with?
That night it was Starcastle and Journey. And
not exactly a good bill for you.
But I came off feeling great. It was just, I thought, oh yeah, that's got him talking. You know. He's got him moving, yeah.
Is that what you want? You want most audiences to move?
I mean, move mentally or physically.
Do you want your records to do that for people as well? Meaning, they hear Johnny Cool come on the radio and they're going to say, action, I'm going to do something, whether it's drive my car faster.
Well, I'm going to like it or dislike it, and I'm going to be sure of one or two, you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna love it or hate it. That's the middle ground is always... great area.
When was it kind of a conscious decision to say many years ago, I'm going to go into music? Or did it just kind of naturally evolve that that's what you were doing the most of?
It was a desire to just go up on stage and play in front of people.
Did you see Eddie Cochran once and say, wow, that's it?
Yeah, people like Eddie Cochran and Presley, all the early rockers that did that. And also at that time, just before I joined the first band, I got together with some great TV shows, Jack Gooden, was pioneering good rock shows. And you'd get young guys just taken off the street, Adam Faith,
Tommy Steele.
Tommy Steele, Marty Wilde, and it was that sort of rags to riches thing which they caught the imagination of 90% of the kids I knew anyway.
I'm just thinking about Tommy Steele. That was amazing, because he was so manufactured. Did you know that they made the movie The Tommy Steele Story? They had made the entire movie before he got his first record.
You mean they got the script and everything?
Yeah, they had the script and filmed it. You know, to say how he became a star.
Before he got his first record. Yeah,
yeah,
that's a new one on me.
Yeah, that was the Jack Good. he did that one, and just they knew he was going to have a couple of hit records. So after his second hit record, they released the movie, and then he went on to do everything else. And those days, well, I guess the only one is, well, Adam Faith is still around, and Cliff Richard is still around.
And Billy Fury was, you heard of Billy Fury?
Yeah, he was in Stardust.
I think he was probably the most talented out of all that Larry Pine school, you know. And also Terry Dean was good too.
I've never heard of him.
Terry Dean was he was like the hard luck story of the 50s. He got conscripted and had a mental breakdown after 2 months, and then he married a pop singer at that time.